They looked at the inventories that agencies had put together, and they looked at the buildings and the land and the flagpoles and the shacks and everything that they said, oh, this is what we can get rid of. And they're saying, hey, we could probably even do more than what we're doing now. Now, OMB reports that agencies got rid of about 1,400 more buildings since March for a total of 3,200 buildings since the executive order was signed by President Obama in June 2010. Agencies also have added 1,500 more excess properties to the list of those properties that could be gotten rid of because, again, the inventories are better. They're understanding more, and they're saying, hey, maybe we really don't need that office building with 7 floors, but we're only using, you know, 3 or 4 offices in the floor, in the building. Now, we have a link to that new map, to the new data on federalnewsradio.com, so people can check out those that excess or underused properties. Now, Danny Werfel is OMB's controller. He says the increase in savings or cost avoidance comes because the Real Property Advisor Committee really has championed this effort across the government.
This is a group of senior real property officers and chief financial officers, about 6 or 7 of us in total. And we're kind of like a SWAT team. We've worked with each agency, unpacking their inventory, doing deep dive analytics, not just within each agency's inventory and advising each agency, but looking across agencies and across property types. We're looking at warehouses across agencies. We're looking at office buildings and searching and combing for opportunities that might not be obvious on first blush. And it's these types of efforts that I think are resulting in a more aggressive posture on our real estate, and that's why we're seeing some of the results we're seeing.
Now, this advisory committee, what they found was, which I thought was very interesting, is that what agencies are realizing is that they have a lot of high-value properties that they didn't have, worth hundreds of millions of dollars or more, that are located in downtown areas, downtown districts. But these types of high-value buildings really are few and far between. I spoke with David Baxa, the CEO of Vista Technology Services. Vista worked actually closely with the Defense Department on its base realignment and closure initiative to dispose of DoD buildings. When he looked at OMB's data from March, so they've since updated it, but he looked at it in March, Baxa said he's not sure if that $3 billion goal, let alone now the $3.5 billion goal, was actually achievable.
There were about 9,000 buildings, but unfortunately, 70% of them were less than 2,000 square feet in size. And so, you know, there's a lot of ash and trash. About a third of them were Defense Department buildings and properties, and some of that was already in the mill as it related to BRAC 2005. So I'm not denying that there are savings. I think that, you know, we might need to take a closer look at the amounts. Of course, anything that's cut out of the inventory at this point in time, over time, will realize savings.
Now, Baxter says OMB's cost basis also needs to be looked at. He pointed to an example which OMB put out there that said they saved $3.5 million from a $1 billion they got rid of by not having to pay upkeep. But that was over a 10-year period. And he says, you know, to achieve $2 billion more of savings in 2012, that ends up being a lot of $350,000 a year buildings that they're getting rid of, meaning the maintenance costs. And that's much more difficult than it seems right up, you know, on paper.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's Jason Miller. There are several bills in Congress that would create the civilian BRAC effort to dispose of federal real property. Did you get a sense about whether these bills will get to the president's desk or become law, or what the administration thought about them?
I think there's a lot of hope. Obviously, it's hard to say what Congress will get done before the end of the session in December. Nobody really knows that for sure. But Werfel says between the bills in the House and the Senate and the proposal to the super committee, he's very encouraged by how seriously lawmakers are looking at simplifying the process to dispose of federal real property.
I think there's a lot of champions emerging here. I mean, I think it definitely resonates with a broader and broader set of policymakers that we need to give federal agencies the tools they need to operate in unprecedented and historic budget cuts that we're currently experiencing and currently confronting, and giving us the tools to reduce our overall real estate footprint and the costs associated with that footprint is a very clear and obvious strategy to help federal agencies manage with smaller taxpayer funds at play.
Now, Baxter says the super committee will be key to getting this real property disposal reform passed. He says otherwise, the House bill, which you guys just had Congressman Denham on, who sponsored the House bill just last week, he thinks the House bill may be dead because of an amendment that to sell the Energy Department's Forestal building right here in D.C. and the Federal Trade Commission requiring them to move to new headquarters. He thinks that may just put an end to the House bill right now. But even if that bill and the Senate bill doesn't go through, he says this effort is much different than previous ones.
you've got a different environment in Congress. When George W. Bush and OMB put together the executive order 13327 back in 2004, they did it because they couldn't get Congress interested in what they felt needed to be done to do a better job of managing our federal real property assets. The GAO had federal real property as a high-risk area for the last about a decade. And so the executive order was an attempt to do whatever they could from an executive order standpoint. And while it has helped, it's not really lit a fire that I think is needed in order for us to take a hard look at all this inventory and figure out how we can manage that better and drive the cost out of it. It's the long-term costs that are going to make the difference for us.
Now, there seems to be building momentum for the super committee to take on this real property reform. Congressman Denham, who sponsored the House version, just yesterday asked the super committee to include his bill in their final proposal. Obviously, the president has asked the super committee for the same thing. So it'll be interesting to see if the Senate sponsor, Senator Scott Brown from Massachusetts, will send a similar letter to the super committee. I've emailed the senator's office asking that question. Haven't heard back yet, but obviously we'll update it as we hear more.
Jason, did they talk a little bit more about how they are measuring this success? If they are saying that this has been a successful program, are they measuring it by the amount of money that's come in or the amount of property that they've gotten rid of? How are they measuring that?
I think it's both, because when you go to performance.gov, there are several charts. They have a whole new dashboard, of course, because this administration loves their dashboards. And the dashboard shows you what agencies are doing by, for instance, they said one department, they committed to sell off $300 million and, get savings of $300 million. They've done $45 million. So they're starting to take those steps. And you can see that agency by agency. They're also looking at what they've done specifically, where the savings are coming from. So they say, they've gotten rid of office space. They've become more sustainable, meaning they've made their buildings more green. So there's a whole different number of metrics that they're putting out there to say, here's how things are changing.
And it sounds to me, Jason, as if what the administration is doing under the president's order and this BRAC type of bill are really completely different things. Because as you said in the beginning, the administration, the agencies are identifying sheds and flagpoles, and I think trash and ash is what Mr. Baxa called all this, whereas the Congress is looking at selling big, monumental, occupied buildings that we can all recognize. That's not a flagpole and a shed.
You're absolutely right in that sense. But at the same time, why the civilian BRAC effort is needed from a legislative standpoint is because right now to sell federal property, and this is anything, this could be that big building in Georgetown that's, seven stories and it's a beautiful building, or it could be the ash and the trash Mr. Baxa talks about. It's such an arduous process that the government has to go through that the bill really is the goal is to really make the process easier. And I think what this administration is saying is if we can get this BRAC committee, this special advisory committee set up, it's a thumbs up or a thumbs down on all of this, both the important buildings that are big and beautiful and the stuff that nobody really cares about, the shed in the national park that they just don't want to have to pay for maintenance anymore. So I think the end goal is the same. And it's just how you get there is based on what Congress does versus or what legislative authority tells you to do versus if the administration is looking for small stuff and the Congress wants big stuff.